This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, we do a podcast. It is a... Finally, we've got a nice day. It's a Tuesday, so we're going to bring you a nice podcast. Al, how are you?
Oh, hi, Jerry. Jerry, I went to my mailbox here at WFAN, which I rarely do because there's normally just terrible books in it. Like people have written books. I can't imagine that there was a meeting where someone pitched a book idea, a book company was interested in it, it actually got written and published.
Yeah.
But I got here, Jerry, a card from one Nicole.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. I didn't get one.
Nicole Saletti, Jerry. She's a big-time fan of ours. She listens. She's on the Twitter. And it's the card says hello on the front.
Okay.
And it's actually... it's
raised.
It's a raised printing. It's almost like it was made out of like paper clips.
Okay.
And it says Al Hughes.
Are you going to read the card?
This, by the way, was sent on July 10th, and I just got it today. Oh, hi there. Sending you anniversary wishes for living in your Bradley Beach condo for one whole year. Take full advantage of living on the beach. I strive to live down there one day myself. I know I don't have to say this, but I love you and Jerry, Gio, Boomer, the Eddie Scazzeri, CeeLo, and Big Zoo. Looking forward to the boat party. All the best, Nicole Saletti.
That's very nice.
That's really nice.
That is very nice. And by the way, the fact that it got here within 10 days, not terrible.
Not terrible.
You know, I would take that.
And she sent it to the Ford Tough Studios.
Wow.
At WFAN. Wow. That's and the warm-up show. Look at that.
She's putting some sponsors
that's
on
right,
the front
Jerry.
Of the envelope.
And she sent the Forever Stamp. Are you familiar with the Forever
Stamp? Yeah,
that's
all stamps? I have. I don't think they sell anything else.
What is a Forever Stamp?
Right. Exactly.
It means it's good no matter...
It's good no matter when you use it.
Like, I could buy thousands of them
correct.
Now.
Correct. And you could use it, theoretically, in 2035,
just
regardless
throw it
of,
on there.
Because I think a stamp now, I could be wrong, I think a stamp's over 50 cents now. I think it went to 52 cents.
I was behind an older gentleman at the post office the
holding
other day.
Holding his hips? Thrusting?
I was not holding his hips or thrusting on him, Jerry. Quite the visual you had, though. And he was buying a book of stamps.
Yeah.
And he was asking what kind they had.
Maybe he's a stamp collector.
Could be.
Very possible. My father-in-law, who sadly passed away in October, collected stamps when he was a kid. And we came across some of them. The problem was he didn't keep them properly, and they're not in great shape. But
right.
I'll tell you, some of them were old. Like, it would have been neat. Might have been able to do something with them.
Remember the popular stamp that I recall growing up was there was an Elvis Presley stamp.
Okay.
And it was like very popular when it came out.
Hmm. Did your parents save some of them?
I know I bought some Elvis stamps. I think my grandmother bought me a sheet of Elvis stamps. I bet I have them somewhere.
Maybe you used them to send the letters to the girl who you were about to get married to that you broke it off.
Who's this now?
The girl you broke off the engagement with.
Angie?
Maybe. Or maybe the girl on the boat.
That was also Angie.
Time out. The girl on the boat that threatened to leave you at every port was the girl you were engaged to?
That's right, Jerry.
Shut up.
Well, aren't you glad to see I've only had that one small problem?
I actually thought it was two different women.
No. Same.
After a week like that, you actually bought a ring?
Yes, twice.
Wow.
I bought the ring twice.
So what happened? The first time you thought better of it and returned it?
Well, the first time we weren't actually still dating when I bought the ring.
Okay.
And I said,
why'd you buy the ring?
Because I...
To get her back?
Yeah, to get her back.
Did you use the ring to get her back?
Yeah, it didn't work.
Oh.
At the time.
Okay.
But that guy, when I went to the jewelers, I went to Ford Jewelers on
in Woodbridge,
Main
right?
Street in Woodbridge. Yeah. And I said to the guy, look, it's a bit of a this is a bit of a desperate plea. So what's your return policy? And he was very nice, very professional there. I recommend that place.
Right.
This was, you know, this is going back 2000 and this might have been 2006.
Sure.
2007.
We stopped at Ford's Jewelers about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Before a travel baseball game, because I've heard them a million times on the station. That's funny.
And the guy was very nice. He said, listen, if it doesn't work out, she says no, you know, bring it back. He said, when you come in, just kind of wave me down so we won't do it in front of customers.
Okay. What a nice guy.
Nice, very nice guy.
That is really something. And it was the same ring you bought the second time?
No.
Okay.
No, the second time, she picked out a ring she liked at a place.
Okay.
I think that was the second time.
Wow.
And yeah, then that.
So she said no the first time?
Yes. She said no the first time because she said, in fact, we weren't even dating.
Boy,
which you do have to go in a certain order, Jerry.
It's some relationship, Al.
Meet someone, you date them.
Man.
Then you get engaged.
I could only imagine owning a jewelry store and having a customer come in and say, might not go well, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Right.
He's got to be thinking, this relationship is doomed.
This guy was so nice, Jerry, at this Ford Jewelers. Who knows if he's even still there. I don't know that he was the owner or he just worked there, manager, whatever. He was just so nice. I said, listen, I pulled him aside. I put myself in a bit of a bind, and I feel like I need this ring to sort of get her back.
It's amazing. And all these years, I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah, and the guy was very nice. He just said, yes, listen, I understand. We've seen it all. We've covered it all here, and yeah.
Isn't that something?
Because I told him, how long are you going to have the ring before how long before you would potentially, if things don't go well, return
right.
it? I'd be like, I'll be back in a few days.
Oof.
He's like, oh, yeah, no problem.
Man, God bless you.
Yeah. What a crazy time, Jerry.
I would say so. For you, yes.
Love is crazy, Jerry, sometimes.
We do stupid things. That is for damn sure, man.
Yeah.
It does make you think about, though, and I've had this conversation with many of my friends.
Yeah.
And even their wives. And as you get older, and it's clearly different for you because you never had kids. As you get older, as the kids become older themselves and more involved in sports and the relationship, how do you say this? I don't want to say break apart. It is definitely different because you're really running in different directions. Like for me, it's not so bad because I am home early, whereas a lot of my friends still do work normal hours. They get home and it's literally home for 5 minutes and he's got one of the kids to their sports from 6 until 8 or 8:30. And the wife has one of the other or the other two or three, and they go in a different direction till 8 or 8:30. And by the time you get home, it's 9:30, and you're on repeat the next day. And it's interesting how the relationships change. And I see it now. I guess this is the point of life, I would say, that I'm at. A, parents getting older and starting to see their friends, relatives of those ages start to pass away, which is horribly sad. It's depressing because you never know when the phone rings what it's going to be. And I've certainly experienced that once already. And B, I see with friends going through the same thing, I see marriages really starting to fracture a little bit. And I don't even think it's the fault of the relationship as much as it is life gets in the way. And you just end up, in certain cases, with different thoughts and interests because you're never together. And then when you are together on the weekends, you're still running from field to field to field. And here's the interesting thing about that. There is no greater joy than watching your kids succeed on the field and do good things. It's awesome. And that's something that you have in common with your wife or your husband. But at the same time, You're not out doing things together. You're not going on trips. You're not. It's just a weird time in life. And I sit there and look at, like, your parents and my parents, and boy, you guys got through it okay. Just, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Make you think.
What about your thought on this one? So, Angie, the woman that I was engaged to twice,
yeah.
She has gone on to, she got married. She's had a couple of kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was seemingly the way her life should have gone.
Sure.
Right? So, but in that moment, I'm sure she was upset with how things went. But did she ultimately go on the path she was supposed to be on?
Maybe, but the path with you might have been a better path. You don't know.
That's a good point.
All you can do is accept the path you chose and how life turned out.
I am a true pleasure to be around most of the time.
I mean, I'll give you this example. And who knows? If you married her, maybe you don't even end up here. And maybe you end up doing something else for a living. You don't know because everything changes with that event. But let's say you still became the Al Dukes of WFAN in the morning and blah, 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 blah. Maybe she's the type of woman that loves the attention, loves the notoriety. Maybe she would have enjoyed being your wife instead of being the wife of the man she wound up. And maybe you have great kids. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Now, she did marry Marv Albert, so she's someone also famous.
He's such an ass. Now, so she's the one that you brought to the bowling alley, and the guys had no idea you were engaged. So that actually was as recent as FAN time.
It was
in
at
Astoria.
It was the very start of FAN.
When I kind of knew you but didn't really know you.
Yes.
Wow. So that really not
start.
Recent.
2007.
But, yeah. How
end of
that?
2007.
And that's when you were engaged. But
right.
I thought she had a kid that you were really into.
Yes.
Oh, so she got married and more kids.
She had two additional
children. Oh, I see. Okay. I gotcha. So she was married, divorced, engaged to you, broke it off, and then married.
No, she was...
single mom.
Single mom.
Got it.
Then me, then married.
And now married. I got it.
Seems happily ever... Jerry, it ends in a happily ever... And in fact, I believe she told me once that her husband listens to us from 5 to 6.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Look at that. Fans.
How about that, Jerry?
That's kind of nice.
That's the way that the world goes around.
Who was I talking to last? Where was I last night?
You're up one day, the next you're down.
Cornhole. Oh, I was talking to one of the guys that he specifically wakes up now. He used to get up at a quarter. So he told me his alarm used to go off at 6 o'clock. Then we started doing the 5:45 segment. He says, what the hell's 15 minutes? He got up to listen to us 5:45.
That's nice.
He now wakes up at 5 a.m., to catch us for an hour.
How about that?
That is kind of
neat.
That
I like.
That is kind of neat. And he's got a half-hour ride to work.
That's a promo.
Gets us
a warm-up show.
It is. He gets us for a half hour in the car, gets to work a half hour earlier, and gets everything done. So he gets up for us.
Hmm.
Kind of cool.
That is very cool, Jerry. What did I... let me do this, because I know people are looking for this sort of thing from you, Jerry.
From me? Oh, boy.
Man has swollen penis. Freed by doctors 2 weeks after he locks it inside a padlock. This comes to us from Thailand, Jerry, a man who was bored stuck at home because of the coronavirus lockdown.
Some people snack. This guy puts his penis in a padlock.
Correct. He's 38. He clamped the metal device around the base of his penis for a thrill.
Did he not have the key?
Around 2 weeks ago, but he lost the key and his limbs started to swell.
Oh, my God.
He tried for more than 14 days to get it off.
How would you? It's locked.
The man's mother
called. Could you imagine calling your mom with that?
She called the emergency services, and firemen had to go to his home in Bangkok, Thailand.
Can I ask you something interesting?
Yes,
it's
Jerry.
In Bangkok.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we call firemen for that?
I don't know. I think we think firemen can get us out of stuff.
But like, why wouldn't a paramedic come?
Maybe they think the firemen have tools that can break the lock off.
Around your penis?
Yes.
I'll pass on the tools.
The mother told the medics who came and the firemen that her son did not have a girlfriend and was, quote, bored because he had been staying at home during the pandemic. She said, my son is a private person and he doesn't have a girlfriend. He has been staying at home a lot during the pandemic because he is worried about going out. He told me he did this because he was bored and likes putting his thing through small holes.
Okay, that's weird.
I was angry at him for embarrassing me like this, and I've told him not to do it again.
No, yeah, I'm sure he'll listen.
The rescue squad arrived and said it was, quote, worse than they expected, and they had to rush the man to a hospital. They spent more than 30 minutes using an electric cutter to slice through the metal lock.
Holy moly.
They slid a thin sheet of metal between the bar and the man's skin to prevent it from being cut.
Oh. Could you imagine the panic that ensues?
Yeah.
Like, you were panicked when you had a tick on your thing.
I had a tick on my penis.
Could you imagine if you had your penis in a padlock the moment you realize you can't get it out?
Yeah.
Like, what have I just done?
Right.
Oh, my God.
I believe Evan had a tick on his penis as well.
Like, you guys have talked about this?
No, I think I recently
heard that on the Carton and Roberts show.
Carton and Roberts show.
Boy, Evan has. I'll tell you, Craig has brought a lot of truths out of Evan.
Yes.
My God, man.
Evan had that.
Okay. I guess you guys have a bond.
And let me know if you're interested in this, Jerry. Here's an article that comes from Jeep. You know, Jeep Wranglers.
I've heard of them. Yes. I had a
Familiar
Jeep Wrangler.
Jerry, with these cars called Jeeps.
A Jeep Wrangler was one of the many cars I've owned.
Yeah. I always think a Jeep Wrangler looks cool.
They are cool.
They get terrible gas mileage.
Horrendous
though.
Gas mileage. Although I heard the electric ones are outstanding.
And I hear it's a rough ride. Like,
Well, but you're not buying a luxury vehicle. You're right. Buying it like a terrain vehicle. You're buying the original sport utility vehicle. I had it. I liked it because it was neat. It was unique. Not the most comfortable thing in the world.
I would like to have one for tooling around the Jersey Shore towns.
Well, where you live cool. Now, absolutely. Take that top off. Are you kidding me?
Take your top off.
But think about how many people will be like looking at you and waving and yelling at you as you're driving around town in your mint green Jeep.
Hi, everybody. I'd get an orange Jeep.
Of course you would. The fire orange.
Or yellow.
Which is
I love the fire orange or the yellow for a Jeep.
Really? Black and red are the two most common. So I like that idea. Mm. What about the dark green, like the army green one? Those are cool with that tan top.
Maybe I get me a used one. Although, have you heard that
they're terrible after 100,000 miles.
No, horrendous. But about used cars now are going for a premium.
Yeah, I know. Why is that? Because of the chips?
No, because of the production or for new cars is down because of coronavirus.
Oh, so I thought it was just because the production. There was a chip shortage because of coronavirus.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Production of the vehicles.
That could be. That I don't know. But I just know that it has something to do with the new vehicles, lack of manufacturing of the new vehicles, that the used vehicles are now not only holding their value, but are worth more.
Might be the first time in our life.
How about that? Yeah. So I was like, maybe I get a used, beat-up used Jeep.
Yeah.
But then, like, when you get like a beat-up car just to kind of kick around town with and have fun, you got to end up fixing it. And I'm not good at fixing things myself.
But here's the thing, though. If you're only using it
to
drive around the beach, how many miles do you think you put on that
thing?
Not
a lot.
No. You might not put 1,000 miles on it in a year.
You're right.
You're not going to have to do much to it. Remember the old Suzuki Jeep?
Sidekick.
Yes. It was the Sidekick. I mean, I like that one. I thought that one was pretty cool.
My friend John had that Suzuki Sidekick.
That was a neat Jeep.
Yeah.
I don't know why they stopped making it.
Maybe I do that, Jerry.
Yeah. I remember the guy I used to work for at the gas station in Seabright, he bought his wife a small little convertible, like 1970 convertible Fiat that had like 150,000 miles on it. And I remember him saying, he goes, we live in Seabright. She's not going anywhere. She wants it to go down the block. She goes, it's perfect. And she had it for a few years, never had a problem with it. Because all you do is turn it on, go 5 minutes, and it was done.
But then like in the winter, I feel like it would just be sitting there in the freezing cold.
Yeah, do you have a garage?
No.
Oh, it was going to sit in the garage.
Yeah.
Out in the freezing cold.
Right.
Yeah. Their Jeeps are tough, too. They really are tough vehicles. I don't know how the brand new ones are, but when I had mine, it was...
Yeah, I want one.
So go get one.
If I was good at fixing things, like changing out...
How about we start by fixing by changing a flat tire?
Yeah, changing a flat tire, this sort of thing, Jerry.
That would be good.
Then I would get one because I feel like, hey, if something goes wrong, I could fix it.
You would become the ultimate beach guy.
If I'm
You've
a
got
Jeep
the
guy,
condo
Jerry?
Right yep. across from the ocean, and now you get the convertible Jeep.
Become a Jeep guy?
It's pretty good.
Awesome.
And you know what happens in the Jeep, too, which
what?
I learned very quickly? When you pass a Jeep, you got to wave.
Jeep wave.
I don't know why. It's like Jeep code of conduct. I learned that. I'm like, why are these people waving to me?
Yeah.
And I remember Kim said, she goes, have you noticed they're all in Jeeps? I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. So the next Jeep I remember, I waved, they waved back.
And you were thus in the Jeep Wave Club.
I was in the Wave Club.
Well, supposedly Jeep is working on a Jeep that would drive underwater.
Is that the one you're going to buy?
I think I'm
going
to wait.
You can bypass the traffic and just come. You can go under the Verrazano Bridge.
Bridge is closed, no problem. They say that possibly by the end of 2030.
Oh, okay.
They will have a Jeep. They're working on it. An electric Jeep.
Oh, that makes me feel comfortable.
That doesn't have air intakes or exhaust. So as long as their equipment is sealed, they can operate underwater without any issues.
Well, maybe by 2030, these spaceships will actually stay in space longer than 30 seconds. Let's do that first.
And by 2030, I'd be retired.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So I can retire, get an underwater Jeep.
You'd be retired, huh?
That's right.
At 60?
I hope so.
I mean, you'll be able to. Isn't that weird? You're thinking of the end of life already?
That's not the end of life. I've called it the beginning, Jerry.
When you retire at 60?
Life begins at retirement.
That's the last phase, my man.
It's a good one, though.
Be careful.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
All right, let's do that.
You can never be too careful. So!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry, don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
All right, what do you say we do this? We kick off Tuesday, a couple minutes after 5 o'clock. Oh, hi there. Inside is the Eddie Scazzeri, and across from me is Al Anthony Dukes. What's up, man? How is you?
Good morning, Jerry. I'm now an overnight gas getter. I used to critique you all the time for getting gas in the middle of the night. Very dangerous. That's when gas stations get robbed.
Yeah.
But I feel safe on the parkway getting gas.
I agree.
Although,
I've always said that to you.
Yeah, you have. You've told me. And although I always think, like, if I wanted to rob a gas station, you want to rob a gas station that's near a highway.
True. But none of them carry cash, though.
I
don't even think the ones on the parkway take cash at night.
Oh, is that right? I couldn't even pay cash.
I don't think so. I know.
That's smart.
I know in the last 4 or 5 weeks, I have stopped at a handful of stations in the middle of the night, which I know is not optimal, but it is what it is, though. And I've even tried to make it exact, so there's no chance. No, they are not allowed to handle cash.
I love it.
Yeah, no, so it makes it easy.
Well, it's got to suck if you're someone who robs gas stations.
You're not going to get much.
Yeah, like, you think those guys have meetings? What do we do now?
Yeah, we go inside. That's what we do.
Where do we go? No one's, especially once coronavirus hit, everyone acted like cash was a disease-carrying thing. So everyone's got, and like any new business that opens up now, they all have that, they want you to pay. Like I went to a bakery, I got like a croissant.
They want you to pay with a debit card.
Yeah.
I know.
A $4 croissant.
Yeah, that is right.
Do you say croissant or croissant? Well, you're not French.
Neither are you.
So you probably say croissant.
I do,
like
yes.
An American.
Yes, I do.
I say croissant.
You know what I do like, though? Not the way you say that word. All these restaurants, though, when you go out with friends, they expect you to split the bill.
Is that right?
It's like not even a... It's easy.
See, sometimes positives, Jerry, come from negatives.
See, we're trying to make a positive. That's exactly right.
And right now, if you're somebody who goes around robbing gas stations, you're out of luck.
Out of luck.
Or robbing anything, really. No one's using cash anymore.
Not much. Between the debit cards and Venmo, cash is like gone.
When you were a gas station attendant, you were, did you used to, because I used to sometimes see, and occasionally you'll still see this during the day, where the gas station guy will pull out a wad of cash.
Yeah, we had a lot of, we always had money on us.
You had like wads of cash.
Absolutely. Yeah, no question.
And would you have that thing where you could slip it into the floor, the safe into the floor when you got a certain amount of cash?
No, my boss would come take the money twice a day. So we did not have a safe.
Oh, is that right?
There was just a safe at the end of the night.
He would pull up and you'd hand him a wad of cash?
No, he would come in with his envelope and he would go to the register and he would take the money.
Jerry, tell the audience that story again. I've heard it a few times, but I enjoy it, where you decided you were going to sell cigarettes at a gas station, not knowing that you had to get a license for that.
So my father's company back in the day, they had vending machines and they wanted to upgrade and they were going to throw them out. And I said, why throw them out?
You're a businessman, Jerry.
Well, I don't know about that, but I said, why throw them out? I was working at a gas station and the owner owned two of them and he didn't have vending machines. I said, how about I'll buy them? I said, and I'll stock them. He said, great. And so they wound up giving me the vending machines for like $100 for, I took three of them. I put one in one station, all, you know, candy and junk, and that was fine. And then two in Seabright at the gas station. One was all candy and junk, and I'm like, what could I do differently with this one? I'm like, I got a vendor's license. I'll put cigarettes in. And, man, did those cigarettes fly out of the machine.
You were the late night
yes.
to-go place for cigarettes.
Because in the summer, we were open until 2 a.m. on Friday night and Saturday night. So, and I would work a couple of Saturday nights until 2 a.m., and you couldn't keep them stocked. Worked so well for like 6 weeks. And then a cop came in one day and looked over and said, where's the license for this? And I said, oh, right there. He goes, that's a vending license. Where's the tobacco license? What do you mean, sir? Yeah, that was out the next day. So that was the end of that. Now, the rest of the vending worked fine, but the whole...
You just can't sell cigarettes at it.
No, and the cigarettes were the moneymaker.
Right.
Because people, I mean, say what you want about drinking and driving, buzz driving, whatever it was. People would spend, if I want to say back then, cigarettes were probably $2.50 a pack. I was selling them for $3.50 for convenience.
Right.
You couldn't keep them stocked in the machine on the weekend. Yeah, that didn't last.
And then one time you also gave...
What is this? My life of misery? What are we doing?
No. You once pumped gas for Bruce Springsteen.
I did, and I had no idea it was him.
He came up in a motorcycle.
Yes, he came up in a motorcycle in Seabright.
Fill it up.
Pumped the gas. Everything was good. He gave me a $5 tip or something. And the gas couldn't have been more than $5. And I went back in, and my boss was like, that was pretty cool, huh? I said, yeah, he gave me $5. He goes, yeah, but what about meeting him? I said, meeting who? He goes, for real? Help me out here. Because that was Bruce Springsteen. I'm like, oh, who knew? I had no idea.
I would have been so exciting. I would love to pump Bruce Springsteen's gas.
Yeah, I just, you know what? Between the helmet, I think he had a beard, if I remember correctly, and just not being a huge fan. I could just...
It wasn't a big deal to you.
Well, no, I didn't realize it was him. I just didn't. So I had two brushes with all-time rockers, him and Bon Jovi in Homedale.
A gas station again?
No, that was at a liquor store I worked at when I was probably 21.
Bon Jovi came in to buy liquor?
With his dad. Yes.
What'd they get?
A lot. They were having a party.
Oh.
Helped them out to the car. He didn't say a word, but his dad was so nice.
Did they tip you?
I don't remember. I really don't remember. But I remember he had a hat down, you know, way low because he didn't want to be recognized.
Yeah.
And I'm
Boomer Esiason.
I only knew it was him because of the name. It had a house account. And I kind of figured it out.
Bon Jovi.
Yes. That's exactly right.
B-O-N-G.
That is correct.
Bon-gio.
But his dad could not have been a nicer guy.
Nice.
And he wasn't bad. He just didn't say anything. It was fine. So there you go. Bon Jovi and Bruce. Who else from New Jersey? I'm too old for Sinatra was from Jersey City, right?
Right. I think so, yeah.
I'm too young. He was too old. So that didn't
That's it.
Happen.
You've met the Jersey icons.
I think I have.
Jerry, last night was my kind of Mets game. My kind of baseball game.
Errors,
26 runs.
You were total. Oh, nailed it, by the way. Not one person... I was disappointed by this.
What happened?
So I was following along the game last night. We had, you know, Monday Night Cornhole, so it wasn't like I could watch the game last night. Saw a lot this morning. But I was following along because I was very curious on one question I had for you. We played the over-under. Jared Eichhoff and Vladimir Gutierrez. Will either one go 5 1/3? And you said no. You took the under.
I took the under.
Neither one of them got through the fifth inning. Matter of fact, neither one of them, well, I guess one got through four. And then Eichhoff didn't even get out of the fourth. So you were right. You nailed it. Not one person in the told us that.
Come on.
It's disappointing.
Come on. So the final score, 15-11, in 11 innings. The Mets scored 5 runs in the 11th. Hit 7 home runs on the night, which I love. Jerry,
well,
I love.
Cincinnati. It's like playing in Philadelphia. A lot of home runs there.
Why is that? Is the air thinner in Cincinnati?
I don't know the answer to that, to be quite honest. I really don't know.
It's weird, right?
It is weird because kind of expect it.
Maybe the winds blow off the Ohio River there.
Maybe. Maybe the wind blows out. I don't know. I've never been there. It's a park I'd like to get to.
Yeah, it does look cool.
And you know what was neat? I know the place, especially late in the game, was empty. But early on, because I know you watched like the top of the first and then you're out.
Sleep.
At least early on, there were a lot of people behind home plate.
Yes.
Like it looked good. But as the night wore on, people kind of filtered out.
People are like, I got to get home. I got to go to work in Cincinnati.
The game didn't end. It just kept going and going.
You ever think what it's like to live in some of these, like when you watch the Mets or Yankees games and they're on the road, you're like, what would it be like to live in Cincinnati?
I do. I think about that a lot. And maybe not Cincinnati, but like I've been to Columbus, Ohio. Looks lovely.
It is lovely.
And I sit there and say,
why don't I live there?
Your life wouldn't be all that different. Right. Really wouldn't.
Like you get up, go to work in Cincinnati. Instead of talking about the Mets and Yankees, you'd be really...
Reds, Indians.
Yeah, you'd be yelling about the Reds right now.
Yep, that is very true.
And what are the Bengals' off-season moves?
Perhaps.
Not a terrible life, Jerry.
No, it's fine. They got the same restaurants, same chain restaurants, movie theaters, bowling alleys.
Imagine how big of a star you would be in a smaller market like Cincinnati.
Who's that? Big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond?
You'd be a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah, well, so would you. If you took that job in Buffalo.
That's right. Here comes Jerry Recco. Make sure his steak is exactly how he prefers it. He might badmouth us on the radio tomorrow. That will sink our business. We'll be finished. Tonight, there's some pitcher named Robert Stock pitching for the Mets.
Robert Stock, if I remember correctly, pitched for the, was it the Orioles early on? I forget. No, the Cubs at Citi Field, and he was atrocious.
Uh-oh.
He's now on the Mets. This is where the Mets are, though. Like, the Mets need Robert Stock to give them innings.
Yes.
The Mets need Jared Eichhoff to give them innings. The Mets need, what's the other kid's name? McGill. To give them in. I mean, this is, it's unbelievable. Like, they need Carrasco back this week.
This is where we are, Jerry. We've got a guy named Robert Stock pitching tonight.
Yeah, I know. It's not good. Not good.
And Luis Rojas, he got a two-game suspension.
Yes, real quick. Stock was the guy, if I remember correctly, that was so bad he was making fun of himself on Twitter the day after he pitched against the Mets.
Is that right?
I think that's the same guy. I got to check.
Well, now he's on our team.
Well, he has been, yes. And yes, Rojas got two games, so Jouse managed.
Two games suspension for excessive outburst.
What do you think Jouse was thinking when Guillorme made two errors on one play?
I'm like, well, listen, I only got to do this twice. And then again.
That's right. Get me the hell out of here.
Luis Rojas' problem again. I really didn't realize how muscular and good shape Luis Rojas is in. I know people have said it, but when I saw him run out there to bump the ump, I was like, this guy is stocky.
Yeah. No, he's...
He probably could bench press pretty good.
I saw him up close and personal in Miami a couple of years ago.
Right? Muscular then?
He was. And he's the guy, he actually gave my son a baseball.
Is that right?
Yep. And we wrote it down because I don't remember what his position was at the time. He was on the staff, but it wasn't like he was a well-known person. And he gave my son the baseball. And I'm like, I'm looking up Rojas and the number. And so we wrote on the ball given by Luis Rojas and the date.
How about that?
And now he's the Mets manager. So, yeah. How about that?
Did you tell your son that when they hired him?
Yes, I did.
Like, hey, remember that dude who gave us the baseball?
Yes.
He's now manager of the Mets.
So my younger son does not like watching baseball. Matter of fact, I think my son would rather go hide in the shed for a week than watch a baseball game. But he loves playing. It's so weird.
He loves playing.
Loves practicing, playing, hitting, throwing, loves baseball. But making him watch baseball, I can't. That having been said, the few times he does watch it with me, I always remind him, that's the guy that gave you the baseball.
Hmm. And does he go, how about that?
He thinks it's cool. No, he does. He thinks it's neat.
The Reds are throwing out there Wade Miley, who I've heard of.
Yeah, good for you.
He's been a major league.
Hey, good for you segment.
He's been a major league pitcher for a number of years, Jerry, if I've heard of him and remember his name.
That's right. That's pretty funny. I've actually heard of him.
How about Michael Conforto hit two home runs yesterday, Jerry?
Yeah, how about him?
They went back to back.
He and Pillar,
yeah?
Kevin Pillar
went back to back at a belly to belly in the 11th inning.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I would say that's pretty good, Jerry.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it was
interesting. I bet tonight will be like a low scoring game now.
Perhaps.
Because they scored 26 runs yesterday. We're going to get nothing tonight.
Why don't you tell us again who's pitching?
Robert Stock.
Right.
Oh. In the band box, that is.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's.
You call it a band box?
That's what I heard them say.
I thought it was a bam box.
Who's right, Eddie? Do you know?
Band. With a
really?
D.
What does it mean?
A band box?
Yeah, let me
Google. I thought
Google
bam,
it.
Like you're crushing the ball.
No,
over the
right.
Place.
No, it's an
I've
old
never knew
saying.
That.
It's an old saying. Let's see. Band box by Merriam-Webster. A usually cylindrical box of cardboard or thin wood. Well, that can't be. A structure having relatively small interior dimensions.
I guess that's it.
Bandbox. How about that?
How about that?
Twib. How about that?
That doesn't matter. You know what I saw yesterday? I saw a Johnny Bench commercial for Ooh. Blue Emu.
What is Blue Emu?
It's some sort of a...
That's not a wiener pill, is it? All the blue pills.
Why
are...
do you go there?
Because it's blue.
Because I said blue?
Yeah. There's blue chew. There's blue pills.
No, it's not a wiener pill. It's I believe it's a cream. I believe
a cream
for your hands. I'm pretty sure.
Let me see what blue emu.
He
is,
looks
Jerry.
Great. The point is, he looks outstanding.
Johnny Bench does.
Yes,
we had him in here a number of years ago, and the man's hand when he shook our hands, it was like putting your hand in a catcher's mitt.
I believe that
big leather man hand.
I believe that. Think about all the work he's done over the years and yeah. how long he played.
Wasn't Craig wearing a chicken suit?
Craig wore
That's
a chicken
right.
suit.
I forgot about that.
He wanted to pretend it was the show with that. Was that This Week in Baseball?
Yeah.
With the chicken.
The Baseball Bunch.
Baseball Bunch. San Diego Chicken and Johnny Bench. That's the I have that photo framed in my home. Craig, Boomer, and Johnny Bench, but Craig is in a chicken suit.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember how it went. Was he amused by that? Or was he a no-nonsense type of guy?
We had heard he was a no-nonsense type of guy.
Right.
But because of the Cincinnati connection with Boomer, he came in a very good mood. Because we had been told, like, he's not interested in seeing people, saying hi. He's not interested in reminiscing about baseball. Like, we were somewhat worried when he was coming in here. The office staff.
Right.
But, you know, the Boomer connection, everything was great.
Boomer connection and a chicken suit.
And I also have a picture where it looks like Craig is asking a very serious question while wearing the chicken suit.
I'm sure he was.
It's very strange.
Would you be surprised by that?
No.
I could see him asking Doc Gooden that question in the chicken suit.
Yeah. So that was like, that to me was a perfect picture of the show.
Agreed.
It was Boomer and Carton. It was a big-time baseball dude from the 70s, 80s. And Craig was in a chicken suit.
Asking serious questions.
And over their heads were framed photos of Mike and the Mad Dog.
That is actually tremendous. All right, quick break. It's 5:18. We're just getting started. We got Boomer and Geo coming up on a Tuesday right here on The Fan.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Al and Jerry, longtime tag team champions.
Yeah, that's right. 25 after 5. You've got the Yankees back in action tonight. Take on the Reds. Can help out the Mets a little bit. More Mets, the Phillies, rather. Mets-Reds again tonight. Cincy, sir.
I can't tell whether this is fake news sad or if this actually happened, Jerry.
Okay. Did you read it?
I did read it.
Okay.
I just can't believe that
I wonder where you're going with
happened
this.
Exactly as is being said. So the wife of former Red Sox catcher Jason Varitek said a Yankees fan spit on their 9-year-old daughter while they walked to their car Saturday night.
Why can't you believe that?
I don't, because this makes it sound like a Yankee fan went up to the 9-year-old and spit on her face.
Well, she didn't say that they walked up to her and spit on her face. They said spit on her.
But that could be just a Yankee fan walking to his car spitting and not knowing there was a child.
Could also
there.
Be a Yankee fan walking behind them and just spitting on the back of her head.
Could be.
That's how I took it.
You took it as a back of the head spit.
Yes, you took it three different steps forward and said a Yankee fan basically walked up right into her face and spit right in her forehead. That's not
how
what
was
she
spitting
said.
On the back of a kid's head any different?
Well, I mean, it's a little different because they didn't confront them. They were trying to me, that sounds like some drunk, stupid fan thought it'd be cute to spit on someone.
Why would you ever, I mean, if you're not from around here.
Right.
Why would you ever go to a game in the Bronx? The Bronx sounds.
What does Jason Varitek
like
have
trouble.
To do with the Red Sox at this
I
point?
Don't know.
Is he employed by them?
He must be, but I don't know.
So then they go to a game. I mean, you should be allowed to go to a game.
I wouldn't go to the Bronx. I live here, Jerry, and I wouldn't go to the Bronx.
I'm lucky to get you to a Blue Claws game.
Right,
for
that's
God's
what
sakes.
I mean. Like, if I was from somewhere else and you were like, you want to go to the game in the Bronx? I'd be like, the Bronx? All I think about is the movie Fort Apache, The Bronx, which
I didn't see.
I didn't see it either, but
I never
just,
heard of it.
It sounds like it was trouble.
A Bronx Tale?
Yeah, like, it just, the Bronx doesn't sound like a place with, like, lush green grass and a place for
a 9-year-old. But you don't need that. You're taking your car, you're going to the game ends, you get in your car, you go home.
My father used to take me to the Mets game.
Now that's
once
a man
a
right there. That's a man right there.
That was scary.
Look at that.
Even going through Queens.
You're on
Queens,
the highways,
Bronx,
until you get to the stadium.
Everything that
like,
but the
where
Bronx,
are you going?
The Bronx sounds the scariest of all of them. It just sounds like you better be tough in the Bronx. So if you tell me someone in the Bronx spit on a 9-year-old, I'd be like, yeah, it's the Bronx.
Right, and you know what
that's
you find out?
Go.
The person that did it lived in the suburbs of Jersey somewhere. And by the
right.
way, it could be one person out of thousands that always ruins it for everybody.
You're right. That person probably does live in Jersey.
Right.
Dope.
You know, I mean, it's what it is. Probably someone had too much to drink. They acted like an ass, thought it'd be funny. Not funny.
I did see a picture of Jason Varitek with his wife.
Yeah.
He does not look like he should be married to a woman like that.
Really?
Yeah. He is out of shape now, and she's in tip-top. In fact, I thought, Jerry, it was his daughter. I was like, is this Jason Varitek's older, like, does he have an older daughter, or that his wife?
Hmm.
She's very attractive.
He is, just so you know, the game planning coordinator for the Red Sox.
Oh, so he's on
so
staff.
So he is.
Game planning coordinator.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking at, like, images of him.
Yeah.
You look back probably from 10 years ago. So
he was in good shape.
He was in good shape, and I see what you're saying.
Jason Varitek.
Doesn't, yeah, he has not aged great, and she has. His wife has.
Yeah, you see that picture, Jerry? That's in the New York Post. That's
yes.
the one I'm talking about.
In front of the Nesson?
Yeah.
Yes.
My goodness. Like, at first I thought that was maybe his daughter.
I could see
like
why
a 19-year-old daughter.
I could see why you would think that. I could see
he's
that.
He's got a big fat face. He's got man boobs. This woman's like a perfect 10. My goodness. You're right, though. When he was a baseball catcher, he was in good shape.
Yes, of course.
Boy, that being a game coordinator, he must snack a lot.
Well, what else is he doing? Like, if you ever think
game
about it, when you snack, most of the time it's from boredom.
Yes.
And from just sitting around or being in front of your computer.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep busy and active, there's no time to be snacking.
Right.
So I'm sure he's probably in front of a computer a lot and doing a lot of that.
Hmm.
And he's not playing like he was. He's not
right.
burning calories like he was. Clearly, he's not working out like he was.
No.
So, it's, well, you hope that she stays with him.
Mm. She'd be like, why am I going to the Bronx for my kid to get spit on? I go date me a man who's in shape, tip-top
it is
shape.
I will say, though, it is interesting that they travel with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe because it's the summer.
Maybe.
Perhaps. And they probably don't, they can't during spring and fall when the kids are in school. So it's like family time. They get to go on the road with him.
Maybe the wife was like, I always wanted to vacation in the Bronx.
She's been there, I'm sure. I mean, it seems
true.
Here, according to this, they got married in 2011.
All right.
Which means they had to have known each other for at least a few months prior to that. No,
at
would you
least.
Say? So Jason Varitek, I would say, had to be still playing right around there. Let's see. Jason Varitek's last season was...
I must know this, Jerry.
Look at that. 2011 was his last. So when they got married... So he was a ball player when they got married, clearly. Now he's not.
Now he's...
He's 10 years out.
Not a ball player.
Right. And snacking a lot on Tostitos multigrain scoops.
Oh, there's nothing better, Jerry. I love a Tostitos multigrain.
Oh, I forgot to bring in the salsa avocado.
Yeah, I looked. Someone sent me a photo of that. I don't
it's
think I would
so
eat
good.
That.
You said you would try it.
It's green.
Yes, it's salsa
I don't eat
guac.
Green
but you
sauces.
Said you would. You said you would try it. One chip.
One chip. Everyone.
And
knows
then you
the
can
rules.
Eat the rest of the bag.
Right.
But you'll
Without,
try it, right?
I will try it.
All right. I got to remember to bring.
I'm not
that
in thrilled
tomorrow.
About it, but I will try it.
You in tomorrow?
I'm here tomorrow, Jerry.
I will try and do it tomorrow. Ooh, and Boomer's out, so we'll do it on the show.
Oh, Boomer's out. What? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Rest
this
of
is
the
what I'm told.
This is your last chance. To listen to Boomer this week.
He's lazy.
He's lazy.
He's back on Monday.
He's lazy.
And then you'll be lazy next week.
He's lazy.
Yeah.
What else do I have here for
I
you, Jerry?
Know.
Oh, Saquon Barkley. Now, I did a little research, Jerry. He tore his ACL in week two last season.
That was in Chicago, was it not?
That I don't know.
I thought you did research.
I did some research. I know it was week two.
Yeah.
And he had surgery in Rocktober. Now, we are in July. He still says he's not sure when he'll be ready to roll.
Yeah, it was week two in Chicago.
What? How do you not know?
He's coming back from a torn ACL. I heard a bunch of the questions with him. A lot of it was, like, do you think you'll be able to go full in the summer here in training camp? And he was like, I don't know. We'll see. He was basically saying the way I feel will dictate how far I press it in training camp. The goal is to be ready week one, 100%.
This guy's going to get hurt again.
He might. Who knows?
This is Saquon DeGrom Barkley.
Well, in fairness to Saquon, DeGrom's been hurt 17 times this one season. Barkley is coming
without
off
a real injury.
Well,
and Saquon.
I think he had the one real injury. The other, like, 16 have been, I don't know. Barkley did tear his ACL.
He's too muscular. I saw his leg again the other day on Twitter.
Eli Manning said, stop photoshopping my body on my legs on your body.
Yeah.
That was funny.
It's too muscular.
It's thick.
Sometimes when you have too big of muscles, you pull them easier.
But we've always talked about that's why we think a lot of today's athlete has trouble staying on the field.
Yeah.
It's like what makes them look so invincible makes them very fragile. It's weird, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like it's too much for the human body.
Right. Our bodies are not meant to have gigantic muscular thighs.
You need to be soft, like me, you, and Eddie.
Yes.
We don't tear anything.
Nope. I don't tear anything. I'm sore from walking the other day, but I didn't tear anything.
Although G isn't in great shape either, and he gets hurt getting up from a chair.
He has, pulled muscles getting up from chairs.
That's odd.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's true, Jerry.
You think in his case it's because he does sit down 98% of the time? Like, Eddie likes to walk the dogs. He hikes.
Mm-hmm.
I am still very active. You walk the dogs 16 times a day. Like, for real, you walk a lot every day.
She has slowed down her walking, but I used to walk a lot more.
I thought you were going for, 4 or 5 times a day.
I was, but since I've returned back to the office, she's gotten very lazy.
Okay, but when you walk her, they're long.
No more.
Okay.
Yeah, it's completely changed.
Are you not doing the 25,000 steps anymore?
No.
Oh. That said, you're still kind of active.
Yes.
He's really not.
He is not active.
Yeah. He's got a happy medium.
Plus, he's got a new baby at home.
What does that mean?
Well, I'll keep you in the house.
He stays in the house anyway. He's like you. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He only wants to go to the boat.
Right. That's right.
Other than that, he wants to sit on the couch and watch TV.
And then you also sit on the boat.
And you, that's true.
Yeah. It's a lot of sitting.
You're not running around the boat.
That's a great point, Jerry. Michael Irvin has come out in discussion with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the NFL wants teams to have 85% of the people on the teams vaccinated.
Well, they'd like 100% if they could.
They'd like 100, Jerry. But 85 is their goal, 85%. The Dallas Cowboys are at 70%. Michael Irvin, noted former Cowboy, Jerry, you may have heard of him.
Noted former Cowboy?
You may have heard of him, Jerry. He's noted.
Okay.
A noted former Dallas Cowboy.
Bob Bruning would be a noted former Cowboy.
What would you call Michael Irvin?
A Hall of Famer.
Oh, the Hall of Famer Michael Irvin has come out and said that if you're not vaccinated and your team isn't fully vaccinated, that means you don't want to win badly enough. I like it. That's a strong take, Jerry.
That is a very strong take.
Come strong to the mic.
And then he pissed off Cole Beasley, who's now with the Bills.
Cole Beasley.
Very anti-vaccination.
He is an anti-vaccination kind of guy.
He's an anti-vaxxer.
What are your thoughts on that, what Michael Irvin said, Jerry?
I don't think it has anything to do with wanting to win or not.
Yeah.
I think it's his take. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But I don't think in terms of how a guy prepares, the work he puts in, it's a personal choice he's not into. I certainly have people in my life that have zero interest in the vaccine.
Same here.
And so I get it. I respect it. That's fine. It doesn't mean they're still not good at what they do, and it doesn't mean that they're not working hard at what they do. So it's a strong take. I don't agree with it, but that's fine. He can go fight his own battle.
I love a strong take, though, and that was a strong take.
It is, but it's not right. It's not.
Hmm.
I mean, you're going to tell me, and I don't know who. Let's say, for instance, we found out Dak Prescott's one of the guys that doesn't want to get vaccinated. Dak Prescott has worked his ass off to get back on the field, coming back from that horrific injury. And he's been, you know, 24-7 on the field, in the gym. You tell me he doesn't want to win? Just if, in fact, he's one of the 30%. You get my point?
Yes. You're saying, like, the Raiders just win, baby.
Now, you want to tell me you're not taking your health serious enough? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I mean, that to me is a better take than you don't want to win. That's stupid. So, is what it is.
It's a fun, strong take, though. I used to, when I first got into radio, Jerry, we used to run this network that came out of Washington, D.C., and there was a host named Doc Walker.
Okay.
Who I think spent some time playing on the actual Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to go, come strong to the mic. That was his saying.
You think Michael Irvin came strong to the mic?
Yeah.
He did.
Come strong to the mic.
He certainly got, I'll tell you what, he did make, I mean, it's slow right now, sports-wise.
Slow news day.
But it did make headlines.
Yeah.
So when we come back, I want to ask you another interesting sports headline of sorts that has to do with media.
Oh, I love sports media,
sports
Jerry.
Sports media, but nothing to do with us. This is more national sports.
All right. I love a good sports media.
So we'll do that next, and then we'll have Boomer and Geo at the top. It's Tuesday on the Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jerry, keto-friendly and GMO-free.
Well, you know, sometimes you actually get answers when you're not expecting to get answers. And in this next story, we're going to get some answers. So who is this? I like this song.
This is The Strokes.
Oh, it is? I didn't know that.
Bad Decisions.
Good song. So Boomer has said for years and years, well, since they've retired, so a couple years, that if he was running Monday Night Football, he would go out and get He would really want, or even Sunday night, whatever, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, put them in the booth together because he thinks it'd be great. And I've sat here and said, why? I'm just going to watch the game, really, regardless of the announcers. It means nothing to me who the announcers are. Well, what is this story now that Peyton and Eli are going to be doing an alternate broadcast on ESPN2?
Correct, Jerry. They're calling it a alternate megacast. Megacast. So over the next three seasons, they will do 10 games each year. Those games will air on ESPN2.
Now, the first time they do it is not going to be a good barometer. But after they do 10 games, I'll be very curious to see if they crush the ratings. I don't think they will. But
they'll be on ESPN2, which people will have to go. You'll have to know about this in order to go find it.
It's Peyton and Eli Manning. They should make a huge deal of this such a big deal.
But what if it's more successful than actual broadcast?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We're going to find out if that really makes that big of a difference to people. You will go find it. Now, by the way, it's one channel over on most cable systems. Yeah. It's not like you have to search for channel 1014.
Yeah, if there's one thing I've found out over the years is people don't know that things even exist.
Maybe, but this is, everybody says Peyton Manning, he's the greatest, you know, of all time. He's going to be a great broadcaster. Well, we'll find out now.
No, I think if it was just the two of them doing it, I'm interested in that. Them dressing it up as some sort of show where it says, this is what the press release said. They will be joined each week by a to-be-determined host.
But I think that's a traffic cop. To let them do what they have to do.
They will also be joined by iconic and current athletes and celebrities. Not interested in that.
But it's Peyton Manning doing Monday Night Football.
Though that I'm interested. I'd be interested in him and Eli sitting there. I don't need, you know, Michael Rapaport being on every show.
Are you going to at least give it a try?
I will give it a try because I like Peyton Manning. I'm not interested in Eli Manning.
Have you seen his game show?
No.
It's terrible.
I've not seen it.
And he's a stiff.
Right, but he's a stiff, I think, when it's scripted stuff. But maybe this will not, with this not being scripted,
more free
and
easy.
His brother, maybe it'd be free and easy. But when you put a host in there and you put current and former athletes and celebrities, that I'm not interested in. Every show, like every description of every show ever is, they'll be joined by big name celebrity guests. No one.
Well,
it's
let me ask
enough.
You this. Why, so now I didn't realize that extra part of it. If Peyton Manning is supposed to be so great, why do we need to bring people in?
I don't know.
Right. Okay.
Because the executives, or every executive thinks more guests, the better.
Okay. So then I'll ask you this. If people and networks, and the rumors have been out there, that they would offer him a ridiculous amount of money to be an analyst, which clearly means they think he is going to bring eyeballs to the set that otherwise wouldn't. I don't believe that for a second, but okay, let's say that's the case. Then I'll ask you the question again. Then why is that he got his brother there?
I know.
What else
is
needed?
You, this is people running ESPN.
This doesn't make sense to me.
Every promo you ever hear, I listen to sometimes I have satellite radio on, and there'll be like promos for shows. The name a person you never heard of show. That's what they have over there. And they'll be like, I'll be joined by top name celebrity guests. Why?
Could you run Moose and Maggie's promo right now, Eddie, for me?
So I'll give you a perfect example. And I used Michael Rappaport before just because.
Hey, what's going on, Moose? After Boomer and Geo at 10 a.m., it's Moose and Maggie right here on the Fan. Yankees baseball back in action, Maggie, taking on Joe Girardi and the Philadelphia Phillies.
Plus the Mets and the Cincinnati Reds. We got a week until Giants and Jets training camps open up, and all the latest on Nicolas Cage and his Oscar-worthy performance in the movie Pig. See you at 10 on Sports Radio 101.9 FM and on the Odyssey app.
They always put their guest in.
Well, they must not have had anybody yet.
Oh, okay.
But they'll be in. So I hear, like, I love country music, Jerry.
Yeah, yeah.
I listen to a country station, and they go, Michael Rappaport joined us. Why did Michael Rappaport join you?
I have no idea. Now, if you told me Luke Bryan joined you.
Yes, exactly,
you'd be interested.
Yes. So I'm all for Peyton and Eli Manning doing this. I am interested in this. I'm not interested in them talking to somebody about their upcoming movie or book. Or Boris with someone who's promoting a podcast no one's going to listen to. I don't want to hear that.
Right, let them do the game.
Yes, do the game.
Pay them a
Be
fortune.
Brothers.
Let them do the game, and let's see if they can outdraw the regular broadcast.
Correct.
But now they're going to make it goofy.
Yes.
A host and a guest every week, which is not, it's not an interview show.
Yeah.
It's a football game.
Yes.
Like, we've made it so complicated, and it's so simple.
Yes. I agree.
I don't understand.
Maybe
really
they'll get rid of the guest once it gets rolling. I hope. Yeah,
because you've got a guest,
right.
His brother.
Yes.
Every week, there's two guys there with the play-by-play/host guy.
I want to
run things.
I want to run something, Jerry, at some point in my life where I'm the person in charge.
Well, you had a chance. You turned down the job in Buffalo. And you had a chance here you didn't even apply. I mean, I don't know what you're doing.
Where I want to say, no more guests.
Yeah, but you know what's
enough.
What's odd about that, and I know me and you disagree about that. And I don't disagree wholeheartedly. I disagree with, I think there's value in guests, but it's got to be selective. You love listening to podcasts with guests.
I know.
Like, what's the difference to you?
The difference is, here's the difference. The difference is on a podcast, I will search out guests I'm interested in.
Sure.
And if there's a guest I'm not interested, I don't listen to it.
Right, sure.
When you do that on the radio, you're inviting people to go find something else because radio
so
is live.
So devil's advocate. Yeah. Why is that any different than you're a Met fan and we're talking Yankees for the first hour?
Because
and you're not interested.
Right.
My brother's a Giant fan. Yeah. We talk Jets. I work on the show. He turns it off.
I guess the hope is it's just like if Boomer brings up hockey and I'm not interested in hockey, he might get off it in 2 minutes. If you're in bringing on a hockey guest, I know I'm at least 10 minutes in, so I can go elsewhere.
Right, sure. But again, I mean, you can do, and Eddie, you can back me on this. Like Mike and Chris back in the day, I would agree. I think you would agree. A very successful show.
Yes.
For years and years and years. They would open a show at 1 o'clock, Yankees only. And then they would tell you at 2, we'll do the Mets.
Right.
Maybe at 3, we'll get to calls, but this is how we're structuring the show. In a way, it's even worse because you're turning off the other fan base and you're telling them for an hour.
Right.
We're not talking about your team.
But much less competition era they were pulling it off in. Same with Howard Stern now. If Howard Stern went back to K-Rock today and talked to a guest no one was interested in for 90 minutes to 2 hours, that's not
– Which
that
is, again,
work.
Why I say it's got to be a good guest.
And also, Mike and Chris themselves were the draw. People liked them, their interplay, their takes –
no matter what they were talking about. They were entertaining personalities.
Right, but if they put on a horse guest for the no one's interested.
They had horse days.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you could do that back then. Because
the specific niche guests, correct. But yeah. I think the generic baseball guests or whatever, a lot of people would stay.
But they were also judged, as Howard Stern was back then, on the diary way of getting ratings and wasn't actual. There wasn't a meter that told people what they were listening to. It was just
how
like,
come
oh,
they got slaughtered by Opie and Anthony?
Because Opie and Anthony were more interesting.
Well, they were different, for sure.
Different.
Right. That was just guy talk.
Because then when Mike and the Mad Dog would put a guest on that you weren't interested in, you gave people a reason to go find Opie and Anthony. That's my whole thing with guests. You're inviting people to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I suppose.
And I've seen it in ratings for 15 years, boring, and no one will listen to
boring
me.
Boring chatter does that too, though.
Okay, that's true.
You know,
and I can't find a podcast that I find interesting enough with just the hosts.
And it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very strange.
Because everyone has a podcast.
All right, we got to take a break.
Well, there's one podcast with
Al and Jerry postgame podcast. Good point.
You never know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And you never know how long the topic's going to be. Not lately, though. We've actually gotten off that lately.
We've grown, Jerry, as an artist.
We've matured. All right, quick break. Coming up on 6 o'clock, well, at least in 10 minutes or so. And then Boomer and Geo then. Right now, Amy Lawrence, Odyssey Sports Minute. Is there a youth movement in the NFL?
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
Hi, welcome back. Mets out hit the Reds last night in 11 innings, back and forth game. They hit 7 home runs, blah, 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 blah. They play again tonight. Yankees, Phillies tonight at the stadium as well. And game 6 of the NBA Finals, the Milwaukee Bucks can win and become NBA champions. Al?
Jerry, let's do a buzz, no buzz, buzz to no close buzz. Out the show. That's where I give you a topic, Jerry.
And we have a shirt, by the way, at the WFAN team store. Buzz No Buzz.
A Buzz No Buzz shirt. Please let me complete my sentence, Jerry, before you give me your Buzz No Buzz.
No buzz!
So don't jump ahead with a buzz or no buzz. Please wait till I've completed my buzz or no buzz thought. Jerry, Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue will have 3 different covers. Naomi Osaka will be on one cover. Megan Thee Stallion, rapper, will be on the other cover. And Lena Bloom, the issue's first transgender cover star. Jerry, buzz, no buzz, Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Well, considering this is the first I'm hearing of it, I will have to say no buzz.
Yeah, this has no buzz.
None.
No one cares anymore.
Remember, well, we also don't wait for Sports Illustrated to come in the mail anymore like we used to as kids. Remember this, we were always very excited for this issue.
Right.
No, I mean, there's less than no buzz. There's nothing.
No buzz.
Terrible.
They used to.
Is there less than zero?
They used to make or break models, Jerry. Carol Alt.
Paulina Portskova. Yeah. I can't think of it.
Cindy Crawford.
Oh, sure.
A couple others I can't think of. Cheryl Teague.
Sure.
Yeah, Farrah Fawcett, Jerry.
And she was an SI?
I'm sure. Cheryl Ladd.
Okay.
Jacqueline Smith.
Was it 1977?
That's the issues a Boomer and I remember.
Man, that was right in our wheelhouse.
Right in our wheelhouse. There's no buzz anymore, Jerry.
None. I would agree. This is a no buzz.
We're in a no buzz zone right now.
It is what it is.
And you have any interest, Jerry, in staying at Scottie Pippen's house? It's on Airbnb for
I'm confused by this.
Me too.
I thought he had the house with the full basketball court in it that I saw.
Yes.
In Illinois?
Yes.
You're telling me it's 2 bedrooms, 1 bath. Are we just getting rid of a room?
I don't understand either.
Did you read it?
I did read it. It was not clear. Because it said, yes, they showed pictures of that basketball court and things. And it says it's a 2 bedroom, 1 bath house. That can't be possible. It's a mansion.
Not the house that we've seen in footage.
So you're saying that you think he's just Airbnb in a room?
I guess it doesn't make any sense. That can't be the whole house unless he had a separate place
in
Illinois.
Oh, like a guest house? Or maybe there's a guest house
Could
in
be.
The house.
Maybe there's a guest house outside.
I would never
the big mansion.
I would never stay in an Airbnb.
Why?
I just don't trust. I don't know.
I did it once. We did it in Nashville. It was awesome.
How do you know that the people are going to have a clean, nice house?
Well, reviews. I've learned a lot from reviews from you.
Oh, you check out reviews.
And my buddy who actually rented the house, he read about 25 reviews.
Oh, all right.
And
oh,
was
maybe
very satisfied.
Then.
Yeah. I've actually done everything I've done now. I read the reviews, which is good and bad.
I might Airbnb my bedroom in my 1,000 square foot condo.
You would get a fortune for that. Why don't you move in with your girlfriend for the summer?
Dan from Carteret would be first in line.
Where do I live,
Jerry?
We
are New York Sports. The Fan. WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
An Odyssey station.